I'm not surprised, not everything lasts. I've broken my heart so many times, I stop keeping track. Talk myself in, I talk myself out. I get all worked up, then I let myself down. I tried so very hard not to lose it. I came up with a million excuses. I thought of every possibility. And I know someday that it'll all turn out. You'll make me work so we can work to work it out. And I promise you, kid, that I'll give so much more than I get. I just haven't met you yet.
Good morning. You're listening to Love in the Morning on the Talking Alternative. com. And I'm your host, Marnie Gallison. Thank you for tuning in today. Please bear with me with my sore throat. Hopefully you can hear me just fine. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a professional matchmaker here in Manhattan, and I welcome you to check out my website, sundayatnoon.com. Also, please feel free to find me on Facebook. You can go to my fan page, Marnie Gallison, NYC Matchmaker, and that way you can stay abreast of blogs that I post, articles that I share, events that I throw, lectures I offer, and so on. And of course, also feel free to check out the talkingalternatives.com's website so you can also stay abreast of programming that we have throughout the week. It is my great pleasure to welcome our guest today, Ian Kerner. Ian is a sex therapist and relationship expert. He's a New York Times best-selling author of numerous books, including She Comes First and Be Honest, You're Not That Into Him Either. He's a frequent guest on NBC Today. He writes a biweekly health column for NBC Today's website, and he contributes regularly to a range of magazines, blogs, and other media outlets. So, Ian, it is a pleasure to welcome you today. Thank you for coming on the show.
Hi, good morning, Marnie.
Great. I heard a quote. I watched a lot of your appearances on CBS, NBC, and normally I like to stay really apprised of my guests and see everything they've been on, read everything they've written. But if I did that with you, I don't think I would have a year's time to prepare because you're voluminous. You're everywhere. One of the statistics I heard you quote was that 40 million Americans are stuck in a sex rut.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. Can you tell us why is that and what can people do about it?
Well, it is a big statistic, and that statistic came from CNN, that 40 million Americans identify themselves as being stuck in sex ruts. And I think it can be really due to a variety of factors. People grow bored or disinterested in relationships. They develop other kinds of relationship issues, anger or resentment. I think, you know, we live in a culture where physical health is often eroded, and people either have medical conditions or on drugs that have sexual side effects, or they're just not paying attention to their health and their lifestyle, which has an effect on desire. So I really think that there's a range of factors. Probably the biggest one is that people just don't prioritize sex, and they don't prioritize intimacy, and there are so many distractions and other demands in our time lately, especially in the internet age, that most of the couples who I end up working with, and this is the major issue I encounter frequently, which is just low libido, mismatched libidos, I would say the couples are often well-intentioned. They want to be sexual people. They want to be engaged with their partners, and they're simply not making the time. And then, you know, ruts beget ruts. And sooner or later, you know, it's been more than a week. It's been 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, and then you can't remember the last time you were intimate with your partner. And that's when relationships become vulnerable. So I do have a simple rule, which often gets broken in my own household, unfortunately, I have to admit, although I am billed as a relationship expert, I'm not always an expert in my own relationship. I believe that couples in long-term committed relationships should try a minimum to have sex once a week, just to stay connected and to not let that rut get out of control.
Well, and you've raised a lot of issues. Just to respond to the last one, or to ask about the last one, what if a marriage has gone months without any sexual intimacy? Let's say a couple comes to you and they say, it's been like 3 or 4 months since we've been together physically. To you, is that a sign right away that there's a problem in this marriage or in this relationship?
Yes, absolutely. In a small majority of cases, couples are really comfortable with the routine of not having sex, and they're both low-desire individuals, but that's really the exception, not the rule. To me, if a couple has really gone certainly 3 months, a full season, quarter of a year without being sexually intimate, I think it's an issue. I think that sexual intimacy is a vital part of our overall individual health, and it's a vital part of our relationship health. So I would certainly work with that couple to really prioritize sexual intimacy and put it at the top of the list. And, you know, in the end, sex should be fun. It should be sexy. It's not tiring. It doesn't have to be a chore. It really all depends upon how we treat sex and the context in which we nurture sexual desire. So in the end, I'm very gratified by my work because I get to help a lot of, I get to give a lot of people the nudge that gets them back on track. And fortunately, in many cases, it's not even too big a nudge because, like I said, the desire is there.
Well, that's interesting because I do recall one of the studies you cited said, and hopefully I'm getting the statistic right, 77% of married women would prefer to pick sleep or reading over sex. Am I making that up, or was that the statistic?
That was a study, I believe, that was done by iVillage. I think I did wrote about that and did a CBS Early Show segment. And, you know, that study was, it was focused on moms. It was focused on women. And I think that there is a truth to it. Like I said, it's easy to forget how important sex is. It's easy to not prioritize it. It's easy to get worn out at the end of the day and feel like the last thing you want to do is have sex. So I can understand the statistic, and that many women would say that. And in fact, I made the case as a dad of two sons, who really values my sleep. I was like, you know what? There are plenty of nights where I would pick sleep over sex, and I know plenty of men who feel the same way, and we can't get into a kind of cliched or stereotypical way of thinking about male and female sexuality, and that women are generally the ones who are turned off or want to go to sleep, and men are the ones who are turned on. I've worked with just as many couples in which it's the guy who is experiencing low desire and the woman who wants to really jumpstart the passion in her relationship. So that was a statistic that did come from iVillage. I believe it's a real statistic, but I believe it's an extremely easily reversible statistic.
Sure, and I definitely want to talk about sexual stereotypes later on in the program, and in regard to your book, Be Honest, You're Not That Into Him Either, because I thought that raised some really interesting topics. But to go into something sort of current, I'd love to hear your take on what the recession is doing to people's sex lives, because I got to imagine you're hearing more of a lack of physical intimacy due to just extremely high stress levels. And what can people do about that?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I think the more than, you know, a cataclysm like 9/11, the recession and just the deep thaw of the recession and the ongoing nature and the stress and anxiety that it's taken out on people's relationships has been the number one factor, I would say, in increasing marital strife, increasing divorce, increasing infidelity, increasing sexless relationships. Men particularly, more so than women I have found, lose their libido as a result of workplace issues, losing a job, being unemployed, feeling insecure about a job, feeling like you're not making the bills, or making enough money. That kind of stuff plays directly into male self-esteem, and I'm sure, as you know, self-esteem plays a huge role in sexual self-esteem and sexual confidence. So a lot of men, particularly in this economy, feel very battered down and are in sort of a state of low-level depression, I would characterize it, and have lost their libidos and are not having sex. I really advise couples, even in this difficult economy, to invest in their relationship. So to not fire the babysitter, to not give up on date night, to not stop doing the things you love, whether it's enjoying a bottle of wine or going to the movies or taking a weekend trip. Honestly, in the end, investing in your relationship is probably one of the best things you can do to boost your confidence, create stability, and ultimately even do better in the workplace. There was a study recently by anthropologist Helen Fisher that showed that couples who had healthier sex lives were more likely to do better at work and possibly even make more money. So I just personally believe it's very easy when you're going through your bills and figuring out what to cut to say, all right, we're going to eliminate all these date nights and theater tickets or movies or restaurants, but just save something for your relationship, because I really believe it's the best money you can spend.
For everyone listening, that's really sound advice, not to be taken lightly in these tough economic times. We have to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please join us starting Monday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Please tune in and call as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. You're listening to Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. Anyone who listens regularly knows I have a pretty rasping voice to begin with, but I had my 20th high school reunion over the weekend, and it was shot the next day, so it's slowly coming back. So I apologize about that. For those of you who are just tuning in, we have Ian Kerner as our guest today. Sex therapist, relationship expert, best-selling author. At my reunion, people were constantly saying, what a great job you have, what a great life. You get to do such interesting, fascinating things. And I do feel very lucky that I get to interview fascinating guests. You mentioned Helen Fisher. Ian, I had her on my show a couple weeks ago. She's a fountain of knowledge, as are you. And I'm sure if we were doing this live, today's pre-recorded, that our guests would be calling in with a million questions. So anticipating some of the questions they might have, I have a couple questions for you.
Sure thing.
I'm curious to know, for our female listeners, what would you say is a guy's biggest sexual turnoff in bed?
Biggest sexual... You know, I really have found that the brain is the biggest sex organ. And in the end, all men crave, regardless from the extreme examples we see in the media, is some kind of novelty, some kind of newness, not even necessarily in terms of, sexual position, but just, we did a survey recently on my website, Good in Bed, and we surveyed, I think, over 3,000 people, and about 50%, it was on the topic of relationship boredom, and about 50% of men and women said that they were bored to extremely bored in their relationships. But that same percentage of men and women also said that they were totally up for some kind of interesting sexual suggestion from their partner. And so I really think that routine, although I really do believe that there is a place for comfort sex in a relationship and for the familiar, I really think if couples aren't making sex sexy in some way, whether it's sharing a fantasy or, trying a new position or, watching or reading or doing something together, then you're really just relying on physical paths to stimulation. And when you look at the body, when you look at the brain, mental stimulation plays as big a role in terms of stimulating the sexual response system as does physical stimulation. So I would, encourage everyone, men and women, to think about how you can just push a little bit beyond your comfort zone or do that one little thing or that tell your partner you had a sexy fantasy about him or a sexy dream, just something to kind of jumpstart the brain a little bit.
Interesting advice, and I think that leads to a nice segue about porn, because I was so excited to have you on as my guest today to share some comments by an ex-boyfriend of mine, who I'm actually still very friendly with. Uh-huh. He said to me on the topic of porn, every guy watches porn, and if they say they don't, they're lying. Do you agree with that statement?
I would largely believe with that statement. There was a funny study out of Montreal that they wanted to study men who didn't use porn. And I think it was largely on a college campus, so it was undergraduates and graduate students, but they couldn't find a single guy who hadn't used porn. So they couldn't pursue the study. I thought that was kind of I thought that was kind of amusing. We live in an era where it's very easy to get hysterical and emotionally hijacked, especially by new threats in the form of new technologies. And porn has been around for a long time. It is certainly more prolific and more easily accessible today than it was in the past. Couples have always been relying on and enjoying some sort of erotic stimulation. Erotica used to be a huge genre, which has sort of given away to porn. Romance fiction and romance erotica, which contains tons of literary descriptions of sex, women find that very stimulating. So I think that there is a place in a relationship or in a person's life for fantasy, for masturbation, for erotic stimulation, and also for sharing that kind of stuff and turning people on together. I'm very moderate when it comes to porn. I'm kind of a centrist. I see the pros. I also see some cons, particularly if a couple is together and, you know, one or both partners are using porn but not really connecting intimately with each other. There are also some other issues that come up. But on the whole, I think if you are a healthy, balanced person and you're in a solid, loving relationship, there is absolutely a place for solo sex. There's absolutely a place for sexual adventurousness with your partner, and there's absolutely a place for porn.
Well, let me ask you your opinion. What would you say to a woman who's not a fan of porn, you know, who's not in favor, who feels threatened that maybe it means her boyfriend or her husband is not as attracted to her, or feels threatened or jealous by the fact that he's fantasizing,
right,
and getting off looking at another woman? What would you tell this woman about why she shouldn't be threatened by that?
Well, I mean, first of all, I would say that, you know, you have to look at the relationship as a whole and address the relationship outside of porn. You know, a similar analogy would be erectile disorder. Most women who get in touch with me because their guys are suffering from ED and have, you know, diminished erectile quality really feel personally like something's wrong with them, like he's no longer attracted to me, he no longer has sexual mojo for me. You know, what's wrong with me? What can I do? Sort of completely sidestepping that really the issue has a lot to do with him and with whatever, with his health. And erections, guys who suffer from erectile disorder, the issue is 9 times out of 10 not the person that they're having sex with. So I would say, you know, first of all, you have to get to a place where you're not emotionally hijacked by this situation. You also have to ask yourself, do you believe that masturbation is a healthy activity? And I hope that the answer is yes. And do people have a right to use erotic material, whether it's in the form of books and literature, imagination, or porn? But, you know, it's a little like professional wrestling porn. It's entertaining, but it's not real. It's not a substitute for real sex. And I think it's absolutely a conversation that a woman can have with a man. I've had this conversation with many couples in my office, in which I'm able to guide the conversation. But I think, you know, as long as you don't make it an attack, and if you make it if you take it from a point of being reasonable and wanting to understand more, you know, I'd like to understand more. Like, I know guys, you know, if my wife came up to me and said, you know what, look, I mean, I know guys do what they do online, and some of that stuff looks crazy, and what's interesting or exciting about it, that's a place for a really interesting, exciting, sexy conversation. I think as long as you can turn things into a quality conversation, it's better to communicate than to not communicate.
In your professional opinion, is there a point where there's like once a day is excessive, 5 times a day watching porn is excessive? What point does it potentially become excessive?
Okay,
is there
a
point?
It's really hard to quantify because, you know, you could be an 18-year-old guy who wants to have sex 10 times a day, and porn is actually a healthy way for him to sort of manage his libido. Or you can be a 50-year-old guy who, you know, really does not have the same libido or the same erectile quality. So it is hard to quantify. What I would say is this about porn. If you are using porn as a way of really filling a void in your own relationship because you're stuck in a sex rut, your libidos are mismatched, you're not attracted to your partner anymore, so you're really turning to porn. Well, that's a danger sign. If you are a guy, and this happens to many guys, I don't know, is your show PG, R-rated? Can I use clinical language?
You
can
use whatever you need to make your point. You can use any language that is effective.
Okay, well, an issue that has come up recently, I think because of more excessive porn use is the issue of delayed ejaculation. So when a guy is using porn, masturbating to porn, he's generally applying a kind of friction, a kind of pressure, and a grip to his penis. I mean, I encourage women to check out what it looks like when a guy masturbates, particularly her guy. And that can lead to what's in clinical terms called an idiosyncratic masturbatory style, in which a guy is basically habituating himself to a type of friction and pressure that's very hard to recreate during sexual intercourse with a woman. So as a result, it can lead to delayed ejaculation, in which many men are unable to experience orgasm during intercourse, and they can only achieve orgasm via manual stimulation or oral stimulation. That is another time when porn may be starting to become an issue, if it's really interfering with your ability to enjoy sex and to experience orgasms with your partner. Additionally, for some men, they get so used to the kind of visual stimulation and novelty of porn that it becomes a little harder to focus on and sustain the concentration to have intimate lovemaking with their partner. And so they find themselves sort of craving that novelty and craving that stimulation. All of these issues, from the delayed ejaculation to the distractedness, all of those are pretty easy solves that do require men to use less porn. The place that it's hardest to solve is when a guy, you know, he has two kids at home. He has a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. His wife is nursing and feels touched out, or he has two kids and just his wife has just lost all interest in sex. And, you know, porn has become his only way of enjoying sexuality.
That's when they really need to come and see you. Yeah. We have a lot more to talk about. We have to take another quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Talking Alternative.
back. You're listening to Love in the Morning with Marnie Galison. For those who are just tuning in, we have Ian Kerner as the guest today, sex therapist, relationship expert, best-selling author. And if you go to Ian's website, which I believe is iankerner.com, if I'm right about that, K-E-R-N-E-R, I think that you will find the answer to any possible sex question you could conceivably have, because there is a wealth of information on his site. And I feel like if you've experienced it, he's probably seen it before and can start to answer your questions and shed some light on some of the issues that you might be curious about. Ian, tell our listeners, what is good in bed? Tell us about that.
Well, good in bed, thank you, is it's a website where I've brought together some of the country's leading sex experts and relationship and intimacy experts. And it's basically a platform for providing information and advice in different ways. And so we have an expert forum that's sponsored by KY, where our experts are really able to interact with other people in a very respectful, thoughtful forum around issues. We also publish e-books. So I said that I believe that couples should be trying to have sex once a week. Well, it's not just about the quantity. It's also the kind of sex you're having. There are all different types of sex out there. There's sex that feeds the senses, sex that feeds the imagination, sex that's about intimacy, sex that's just for the sake of sex. So in that spirit, I have a book up there called 52 Weeks of Amazing Sex. There's also about 10 other e-books up there that are written by other authors. So it's really, I think it's going to be, is becoming the web sort of number one destination for sex-related information and advice, especially for couples. And we blog every week for CNN, and we do unique original research where we are able to sometimes sample over 5,000 people and talk about the results. And so that's what the site is.
And it's just goodinbed.com, is
yep.
that right?
That's it. Okay. GoodInBed.com.
Okay. So I want to change gears for a second and talk about, and it's my show so I can curse, what is bad about having a fuck buddy?
You mean just for, a casual sex pal, a friend with benefits?
Is there something bad about casual sex? Is it wrong to have friends with benefits? There are tons of movies about it. What's your take on that?
Well, I'm not necessarily, I'm a fan of casual sex. I've certainly experienced my share of it in my own sexual history. I know many, many people who have been serially monogamous and have had a lot of casual sex in between. I think that casual sex can be a great way to find company. It can be a great way to enjoy sexuality. It can be a great way to try new techniques and learn things. I have to say, I do think there are some downsides to casual sex. I think sometimes we can treat sex very lightly, but sex doesn't always treat us lightly back in return. And I know that many people who would actually like to be having sex in the context of a long-term intimate relationship kind of find themselves in situations where they're having casual sex, and it ends up having emotional reverberations that they didn't necessarily anticipate. The sex isn't always pleasurable. There have been some studies that have shown that especially for women, the first few times that they're having sex with a new person, they don't always experience orgasm, because it can take a little while to either get that sense of comfort and relaxation, or just for a guy to sort of get to know a woman's unique turn-ons and what works. I think very often you use the term fuck buddy or friend with benefit. I think, in the case of casual sex that's coming out of a friendship of some sort or a known relationship, it's hard to know if both people really feel the same way. Generally, there's one person who might want to be more than just a fuck buddy, who might want more than just sex, and that could lead to problems. The other big thing that I would say is that the incidence of casual sex is also very highly correlated with alcohol consumption and the lowering of inhibitions via alcohol. And I would just encourage people, again, I'm not a prude. I have nothing against casual sex. I've enjoyed a lot of it, and I hope that people enjoy it safely. There's a real time and place very often in your life for it. I think sometimes with alcohol, though, people make bad decisions that they regret. And so if you are going to have casual sex, maybe just make sure you're doing it in a very aware way, and it's not the alcohol kind of doing it for you.
Okay, we have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about, be honest, you're not that into him either, and the women's reaction to this book. So we'll be right back after a quick commercial break.
Okay.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please join us starting Monday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Please tune in and call as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Love in the Morning on the TalkingAlternative.com. I'm your host, Marnie Gallison, professional matchmaker in Manhattan. SunnyAtNoon.com is my website. Feel free to check it out. Also, feel free to become a fan of my fan page on Facebook, Marnie Gallison, NYC Matchmaker. And of course, as we were talking about before the commercial break, we have Ian Kerner as our guest today, distinguished sex therapist, relationship expert, and author. And we were just starting to talk about before the commercial break, casual sex, friends with benefits, and now I'd love to talk about, be honest, you're not that into him either, because I found it to be a very interesting read that hit a few different themes. But one of the themes was, it seemed to say that although women think they can have casual sex, in reality, it's much harder for women to do than men. Is that the message that you wanted to send? And can you elaborate on what you've learned as in your professional career about how casual sex affects women differently than men?
Well, it was certainly one of the themes. And, you know, I was writing that book, you know, very much at the sort of the height of Sex in the City. And in Sex in the City, I think in the very first season, one of the questions that Carrie asks is, hey, in an age where women are enjoying, you know, often the same salaries as men, the same jobs as men, women are more educated than men, there are more women graduating colleges today than there are men graduating, like, why can't women enjoy sex like men, casually, sex for the sake of sex, just for the fun of it? And so that was very much the prevalent theme at the moment that I was writing, and I think that women absolutely can have sex like men, and I think it's more of a question of, so certainly you can, but should you? And is there a difference? Is everything about making men and women, saying that men and women are similar and the same, or is it about highlighting unique differences? And I think, you know, in the years that have passed since writing Be Honest, if anything, there's been more science to validate how different men and women are in approaching sex. And, for example, that men are able to really easily compartmentalize between emotion and sex and don't necessarily have to have a previous relationship with the person that they're having sex with, even like the person that they're having sex with, or have any emotion for the person they're having sex with in order to really want to have sex with that person. Some very distinguished thinkers are also coming out and really talking about how for women, the emotional quality of the sex that they are going to have is extremely important. The ability to relax for parts of the brain to kind of deactivate and disconnect are also important. Again, there have been some studies that have shown that women generally don't have orgasms the first few times that they're having sex with a new guy. So I don't think, for me, it's never been about a moralistic message. It's really just been about appreciating the differences between male and female sexuality. One last example, women, upon having an orgasm, produce, I believe, 5 to 7 times much as of the hormone oxytocin as men do. And oxytocin is a real bonding hormone, it's known as the cuddle hormone. It really helps facilitate that sense of trust. With that sometimes comes an emotional response. So if you're having sex with somebody where there ultimately isn't that emotional connection, it could create issues.
And Helen Fisher really gets into this in her book, Why We Love. She talks about how science and nature has programmed us, programmed our bodies, programmed our brains to make us want to bond after sex so that we can eventually potentially rear children together and create that family unit. So I think the point is that science is showing us, as much as we want to think we can be evolved past what nature intended for us, for women especially, it's like nature won't allow you. If you want to go in thinking you can have casual sex, it doesn't always work that way. Now, what about the women who will say, I can have orgasms the very first time with someone I just met, and I don't have any issues, so how can you tell me that I can't have sex like a man? And potentially, and I'm wondering if anyone has misunderstood the message and called you maybe, I don't know, anti-feminist or conservative? Have you dealt with that since you printed the book?
Not a lot, really. I mean, my first book was called She Comes First, and I was really using a lot of the latest studies and science into female sexuality, and the overriding message of She Comes First and helping men to understand, respect, and pleasure women has really been the predominant theme of my work.
Now, can I ask
who? At times, for be honest, I have, in 500 words, when you're writing an article, things can get distilled down or reduced down. So certainly, maybe on the feminist, some feminist blogs, I've been attacked. But I actually have no problem with women really enjoying their sexuality. If anything, I would say that, you know, perhaps female sexuality is more complex, more evolved in some ways than male sexuality, and, you know, with that complexity may come more nuance to be aware of, but that's about it.
Can I ask, because the She Comes First, are they able to track the who's buying that book? Is it more women buying it for their male partners, or men going into the bookstore and kind of putting it, you know, underneath other books and walking out with it? Do you know the breakdown?
It's certainly a book that was written for men. It's a book that's always sold very well in an online environment, but also in bookstores. I know it's a book that's been embraced by women and often been gifted by women to men. It's also a book that's been embraced by couples. It recently, I don't know if you were able to see Transformers 3. I mean, I have two little kids, so I was there, but I didn't even know, my publisher didn't even give me a heads up, and it was the book had a huge cameo scene in Transformers 3, in which the mom character gives the book to her son, who's having girlfriend problems, and sort of says, listen, here's the key, here's the book that can keep you happy, keep you happy, and you know, the son is all flustered, and I think the dad says something like, happy wife, happy life. So, you know, the book is, I've been very fortunate. It's very out there in popular media. It makes a lot of different appearances now and then in TV shows and movies. So I've been pleased with the general appeal.
Kudos to you. That is a great placement. I didn't see Transformers 3, but now I will see it. Definitely. And when I post this, definitely tell people to look out for you, your book in the movie. I did see Hall Pass. And when we come back, I just saw that for the first time. I'd love to get your take on Hall Pass, the sex scandals, and open marriages in our last and quick final segment. Unfortunately, we only have an hour, and it goes so quickly. So we have to do one more commercial break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Talking Alternative.
Welcome back. You're listening to Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on thetalkingalternative.com. And we have sex therapist Ian Kerner as our guest today. In our final segment, Ian, we just have a few more minutes. I mentioned before the commercial break the issue of Hall Pass. Have you seen that movie?
I haven't seen it, but I know the general premise of it.
For our listeners, the marriages are getting a little stale, and the wives suggest to their husbands that they can have a week hall pass to basically have an open marriage for 1 week. Sounds great in theory, and then in practice, it's not, the movie turns out, not such an ideal resolution. Your opinion, 10 years, 15 years into marriage, can people still have earth-shattering, passionate sex? Is it possible?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, unfortunately in the media, all we really get are bad examples of monogamy, the Anthony Wieners, the Schwarzeneggers, the John Edwards of the world. But, you know, there are millions of people. I mean, if you go to Good in Bed, to the forums, there are many people in long-term marriages who are celebrating their marriage and their monogamy. Does monogamy take work? Absolutely. Do couples get bored in their relationships? Absolutely. Is there an alternative? Sure. Being not married. I don't consider infidelity a viable alternative. And I think negotiated monogamy is an interesting concept. It was written about in the New York Times recently. Dan Savage, who's a gay writer and advocate and activist, practices negotiated monogamy and thinks that more heterosexual couples should try it. I haven't really seen it work. I have seen couples who have attempted to negotiate monogamy who have wanted to give one or the other a free pass. Generally, one person is sort of pushing for it and the other person feels pressured to go along with the ride. So I would rather see more examples of working monogamous couples. Like the Obamas, for example. Every time I see them together, regardless of politics, I kind of feel like there's a couple that is connected and in love with each other. And I just think we need more examples of working monogamy.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you coach or counsel same-sex clients? Is that part of your practice?
I do. It doesn't make up a big part of my practice, simply because you get known for a certain kind of thing, and you know, I've certainly written a lot of books that mainly appeal to heterosexuals, but I have worked with same-sex couples, so the answer is yes.
Do you think now that the Same-Sex Marriage Act has allowed same-sex couples to get married, you might start to see a higher incident of same-sex couples needing counseling?
Absolutely, because I think many of them will be, trying to make monogamy work, whether that means, adopting kids and wanting to send them to school, to buying homes together, to joint retirement accounts, hanging out more with other heterosexual couples or other gay couples who are trying to make marriage work. I think we'll see gay couples experiencing many of the same issues that straight couples experience.
And I know that you make the analogy quite a bit to working out, physically working out and making that analogy to keeping a relationship strong. If you go to the gym 2 weeks straight and you're feeling good, that's all fine and good. But if you don't go for another 6 months, what's the point? So my interpretation of your analogy is that it's like hitting the gym. It's something you have to do regularly to maintain a healthy lifestyle. Same thing for your relationship. We have just a minute or two left. I know you mentioned you have two boys. I don't know, how old are your children?
They're 8 and 5.
So they're little. When they get to an age where sex conversation is appropriate, what advice would you give your sons?
Well, we do talk about sex, and they have a very good understanding of the mechanics and what it is. And ultimately, I want, my sons to be healthy adults and to be in loving, intimate relationships and to appreciate sex and to really appreciate female sexuality. What really bums me out is all the the lack of female role models for sexuality, or the whole sort of culture of raunch and the objectification of women, especially via the mainstreaming of porn. And so I just want my guys in the end to respect women and respect female sexuality and to enjoy it and to be healthy sexual adults.
And I would say, based on, you know, your comment just now, that be honest, you're not that into him either, which I recommend to my listeners for the whole discussion about in the meantime, you know, people who serve a purpose in the meantime but are ultimately postponing a potentially really fulfilling, loving relationship. Because I do think that's pretty much most people's goal, is ultimately to find someone who they can be physically intimate with and trust and have, you know, even men who say casual sex is fine, as you say, agree that when you can be intimate with someone you really love, there's nothing better. Before we wrap up, I do want to ask you, what's next for Ian Kerner? Any books in the works right now, or what's coming up?
I'm working on a new book that'll be coming out in May. It's called The Big Fun Sexy Sex Book, and I'm co-writing it with a female celebrity.
Whose name can't be revealed? Can you tell us?
I'd rather not right now.
Okay.
But there'll be more information coming out soon and forthcoming. And and so I'm working on that. And just I spend a lot of time with my kids. I have my wife's a working mom, and she has a pretty big career. So I'm, you know, Just keeping it all going.
Keeping busy. Well, for everyone who wants to check out Good in Bed, simply go to goodinbed.com. There's a wealth of information there. Ian's website, iankerner.com, K-E-R-N-E-R. And you can really find just any question that you have, I think, is answered there. There was so much material and information. And, of course, all his books we've mentioned today. Ian, I want to thank you so much for coming on. You're a wonderful guest. Really appreciate your time today.
My pleasure, Marnie. And you have a great day. And I hope your throat feels better.
Thank you so much. And thank you to all our listeners. Thank you for listening. And have a wonderful day.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please join us starting Monday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Please tune in and call as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
talkingalternative.com.